Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Browns dropped their second preseason game to the Bills yesterday, 31-7. Shedeur Sanders played the first half, completing 9 of 11 passes for 71 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Deshaun Watson played the third quarter, going 5 of 12 for 36 yards with an interception. Watson received boos throughout his quarter of play. Todd Monken commented on the crowd after the game.
Hey, how's it feel to get booed? It's a pretty easy question. It sucks. I don't want to get booed. You don't want to get booed? Let's play good football. Let's play good at quarterback. Let's play good on offense. Let's play good as a team. And then you don't have to worry about all that because it can turn just like that.
The Browns wrap up preseason this Thursday at 8 against the Patriots. The Guardians picked up their third straight win last night, beating the Rockies 4-3. They'll meet again this afternoon at 3:10. The Reds also picked up a win yesterday, beating the Diamondbacks at 11-5. They'll close out the series this afternoon at 4:15.
Oh, baby, it's time for On the Money, because let's face it, it's more fun that way.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
And presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
And by Krieger Ford.
Here's Scotty Vegas and Dave Biddle.
Welcome to On the Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle, joined by Scotty Vegas, Isaiah Jacob at the controls. Gents, how we doing this morning?
I'm good, Dave. I am just very, very happy that we are now into a college football week, right? Week zero starts in 6 days, and I know the games kind of suck, and we can complain about that week zero needs to be bigger, better, bolder, but here's the deal. College football starts this next weekend. I can't wait for it to be on TV. That even North Carolina TCU. Just, I can't wait for it to happen. It's finally almost here.
At least with North Carolina, we can laugh at the whole Belichick situation. Yeah. I guess unless you're a big Bill Belichick fan, then you don't think it's funny at all. Or if you're a North Carolina fan, you probably don't think it's funny at all. All right, as Scotty said, we are nearing college football. We have week zero this week. We are 13 days and counting to the opener for Ohio State against Ball State. And then week two, I think they have a big game at Texas, mm-hmm. September 12th. That's going to be here before we know it. But it's been a pretty uneventful camp for Ohio State, which is great news if you're a Buckeye fan. They named their captains yesterday, and I was trying to guess who the captains were. And the four that I guessed were right, but I wasn't four for four. I was four for seven, as it turned out, because I did not think he was going to pull a Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, and name more than four captains. Although there was one year, like 2013, when they had like 12 captains. Do you remember that? Like Braxton was a captain. Kenny Guyton was the backup quarterback. He was a captain. They had like 12 captains that year. Anyway, for those that haven't heard, seven captains for Ohio State this year. Jeremiah Smith, a first-time captain. Julian Sayin, a first-time captain. Kenyatta Jackson, a first-time captain. Peyton Pierce, a first-time captain. Jalen McClain, a first-time captain, repeating as captains, Austin Saraveld and Brandon Ennis. I thought, and Ennis got the block O as well. He's going to wear the zero this year, block O. I thought what they might do with Ennis, since he was a captain last year, is give him the block O, but like not have him be a captain this year, because he's always going to return for the captain's breakfast, which is a big deal for Ohio State players who were captains. But a lot of people are saying that's too many. That's too many. I don't have a problem with it. You know, at least it's not 12, Scotty. But yeah, I did not expect seven captains to be named. But obviously, they feel good about the leadership on this team.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, ultimately, because I heard those same complaints of, geez, seven captains. Ultimately, who cares, right? Like, like after they name the captains, how many people are really dialed into the number of captains? So I no issues. I like it. As you mentioned, the leadership on this team, and Ryan was talking a little bit about this during the call-in show, is it just feels like that the Ohio State offseason was win after win after win after win, because again, some of the issues that ended last season, where you had the issues as far as the offensive coordinator, and that opens up. And then you bring in Arthur Smith. And now I think there were initially some people that were like frustrated like with Arthur Smith because of the Steelers ties. And then I think all that's pretty much gone away from what we've seen with Arthur Smith. And then you bring in a special teams coach, and you address the kicker situation, and just, I feel like it was win after win after win. Every little question mark that Ohio State had going into this offseason, I feel like they checked it all off. And so it was a win. It was an A-plus or an A offseason for Ohio State.
Very well said. And there wasn't like anything that, like, you know, knock on wood, but so there wasn't anything like really bad that happened. And you're right with Arthur Smith. I thought, Scotty, it might take until like the game started for the people that were skeptical to come around. But you're right. You don't really hear people that are skeptical right now. And I think it's probably because of all the things the guys are saying, the players themselves, the offensive players are saying about Arthur Smith, what Ryan Day is saying about Arthur Smith. But you're right. It reminded me a lot of Patricia. And I said this at the time when people were critical of the Arthur Smith. And I think the majority, I might even go vast majority of Buckeye fans, I think were on board with Arthur Smith. But you're right. There was a vocal minority. And it reminded me so much of Matt Patricia the previous year. And people were saying things like, well, he wasn't a very good head coach mm-hmm. with the Lions. It's like, okay, do we need to go through the list of guys who are good college coaches that couldn't cut it in the NFL as head coaches? Because it includes names like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier. And he wasn't coming here to be the head coach anyways. Come here to be defensive coordinator. He was very successful with the Patriots. And we'll see. I'm not saying Arthur Smith is going to be a parallel with Matt Patricia, but I feel good about it. If I had to bet, I think it will be. And I think that's going to be a massive, massive upgrade over Brian Hartline. Massive. And that's nothing against Hartline. He's the best that there's ever been, Scotty, as far as recruiting wide receivers and developing them. And I think he can be a good head coach, but it's just as a tactician, as a coordinator, that wasn't the job for him.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is you look at the Ohio State schedule, and we know that it's going to be brutally tough, but Ohio State is still your betting favorite to win the national championship heading into this season. And so for me, as far as camp goes, you mentioned that it's been a little bit of a quiet camp and you loved it. You love that, right? You don't want big news necessarily coming out of camp. But this week, any rumblings, anything new that you can report, any kind of players that are standing out? I know a lot of the talk has been about a little bit more information on the kind of offense that Arthur Smith expects to run. But what's the big news of the week?
It's not really of the week. I'll say the big news of camp has been Jay Timmons. It looks like, we'll see when they try it out there against Ball State. It looks like he is going to be the starting nickel. And I mean, guys that have been like the starting nickel as a freshman for Ohio State are guys like Antoine Winfield and Malcolm Jenkins. It's not very many. Nate Clements, not very many. All guys that were first round picks and just absolute legends. Well, I wouldn't say Nate Clements was a legend, but he was very good. And at one point was the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. You know how that lasts. He was like the highest paid NFL defensive player in history for like a week until somebody else topped it. But I will say Jay Timmons is the story of camp. The fact as a freshman and he can, perhaps come in and start at nickel. I'm curious what's going to happen with Jermaine Matthews Jr. We all thought, entering his fourth year, as it turns out now with the 5-for-5, he could come back next year, Scotty, as you know. We thought this was his last year. Entering last year, I thought he might have such a good year as a junior, he might turn pro. Did not have that good of a junior year. Devin Sanchez is obviously their number one corner. And it's going to be interesting. If Jay Timmons does start at nickel, is it going to be Dominic Kelly, the transfer from Georgia, who looks really good? Or is it going to be Jermaine Matthews as that other outside starting corner? All those guys are going to play. They're going to need Jermaine Matthews and Dom Kelly, whichever one of those guys is not a starter. And maybe they'll both be starters and Timmons will come off the bench. But they like those four guys. And then I think another big story is just Devin McEwen and then Brock Boyd. We knew Chris Henry Jr. was going to be Chris Henry Jr. We knew Jeremiah Smith was going to be Jeremiah Smith. But like, could they get, another one of those freshmen? And they like Jerquaden Guilford as well. Could they get at least one of those two transfers to be a dude? And Kyle Parker's been a little banged up. He followed, the new wide receivers coach Hankton from LSU. So obviously those guys have, Hankton likes him or he would not have had him follow him to Ohio State from LSU. But McEwen's the guy. He's going to be the number two receiver in my opinion. And I think Ennis is going to have a good year, good fourth year. But McEwen looks like the number two guy. Brock Boyd. I mean, when you hear Jeremiah Smith say things like, he reminds me of me when I was like that age, like when I was a freshman. It's like, what? Come again? And JJ is not a BSer. So now, is Brock Boyd going to be as good as Jeremiah Smith was as a freshman? No, he's not. But he's going to play. He catches everything. So look for a number 11 out there. I've been comparing him to Anthony Gonzalez. I had my guest on my podcast on Friday on Bucknuts, Jonah Booker, said, he's hearing like Jackson Smith and Jigba comparisons. I'm like, we're just going by guys that wore 11 for Ohio State because Brock Boyd wears, is that what we're doing? But no, seriously, he might be the number five receiver, but Brock Boyd's going to play a lot.
So one analyst that I absolutely love, and again, he's from Columbus, but he did go up north and he played at Michigan.
Oh, I love Jake Butt.
Jake Butt does such a good job. And he was at Ohio State camp. And I want to bring up his kind of his thoughts and observations on Chris Henry Jr. Because one of the things that you've kind of talked about is temper the expectations for Chris Henry Jr. in his freshman year and the numbers that he's going to get. Because obviously Buckeye fans see the recruiting numbers. The eyeball test is you take a look at Chris Henry Jr. and you think, oh my gosh, this guy's going to put up monster numbers from day one at Ohio State. But you've kind of tempered those expectations. You've said you kind of expect him to be wide receiver four, to have a, you know, four or five, to have a really good year.
Yeah, maybe three.
Have some highlight catches,
yeah,
things like
three.
That.
Yep.
But not necessarily put up the huge numbers.
Right.
Now, Jake Butt said this about Chris Henry. Chris Henry Jr. He says he looks like an NBA player. The height and arm length are a 99th percentile, but that's not the most impressive part. It's his body awareness and space. Typically with bigger wide receivers, they can be boxed into a jump ball guy. He's capable, of course, but he's so much more than just that. At 6'5 plus and with the long arms and legs, the body isn't just built to change directions. That doesn't apply to Chris Henry Jr. He has the rare ability to track the ball while contorting his body in space and with defenders nearby. And he goes on about Chris Henry Jr. And I just wanted to get your take going into the year. You still think that he will not have a gigantic impact because you think he'll be wide receiver three or four?
Yeah, I mean, if Jeremiah wasn't here, I might feel different about it. But you look at it, I mean, other than Jeremiah Smith himself, all these stud wide receivers that have come through here did not play a lot as freshmen. Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson kind of did by the end of the year. And I guess the last three games, Chris Olave did. But let's go through the list. Carnell Tate had all kinds of buzz 2 years ago when he was a freshman. Came in spring, and they were like, this guy's going to play right away. He's a dude. And he was. He was really good. He was good as a freshman. He was really good as a sophomore on the national championship team. Junior, he's the first receiver off the board, the number four overall pick. Do you remember how many balls he caught as a freshman in 2023? Again, just we're talking like 3 years ago. I said 2 years ago. 3 years ago. His freshman year caught 18 balls. All right? And then you look at Marvin Harrison ended up being pretty good here. His freshman year, he didn't even really play till the Rose Bowl, and he was ready. Caught three touchdown passes in the Rose Bowl, had his breakout performance. Only reason he played in the Rose Bowl is because Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave sat out the game. Emeka Egbuka ended up pretty good, right? All-time leading receiver. Freshman year, didn't play very much. Didn't play very much. Now, Jackson Smith and Jigba is in the same boat. He didn't play very much as a freshman, but you always wonder, if it wasn't the COVID year, would he have played more? He had that one great touchdown catch, mm-hmm. but that was like he didn't have many opportunities. But my point is, yeah, and now maybe Chris Henry Jr. will be the Jeremiah Smith where I think it's going to be somewhere in between, Scott, the more I think about it. He's not going to be a guy Chris Henry Jr. is going to catch 18 balls like Carnell Tate did and however many Marvin caught. I think Marvin was less than that. Emeka was way fewer than that as well. I think it'll be around 30. I don't think he's going to do what Jeremiah did. I think he's going to be more productive than what Carnell did, which was no fault of Carnell's that he wasn't more productive than that. It's going to be somewhere in there because if Devin McEwen's going to get his, obviously Jeremiah's going to get his. They're still going to run the ball. Guys like Brock Boyd and Brandon Ennis are going to be involved. So they're going to have at least five receivers involved. Chris Henry Jr. absolutely will be one of those five, and he won't be fifth. But yeah, I think people that are expecting him to go out there and catch like 60 or 70 balls this year, I'll be really, really, really surprised if that happens. I'll be really surprised if our friends at Hollywood Casino can hang with us in a Big Ten only fantasy football draft. We're going to do that next. We're going to welcome in Noah Kirk and Justin Schmuth, the sportsbook directors from Hollywood Casino. We're going to have a Big Ten fantasy football draft next right here on The Money.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Oh, okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're creeping into those late August temperatures today with highs in the mid-70s. And you'll have lots of sunshine in your forecast today for the rest of your Sunday. Later this afternoon, we do have a chance of seeing an isolated shower. Getting into tomorrow and the next days, really nice morning temperatures as well. 50s for your morning, so it'll feel a little crisp outside. So it might be time to start bringing out those sweaters. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. And now back to a show featuring two dudes who've been kicked out of their homes by angry wives. This pretty much sums up every show we have here on The Fan. You're listening to On The Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
One of my favorite tasks here at The Fan is looking at the schedule and picking the dates that we go out and we throw parties at Hollywood Casino Columbus. And this last week, it felt like a little draft. I printed out a bunch of sheets, all the NFL schedules, all that stuff. I wanted to match up. This is the best day to have a party at Hollywood Casino Columbus. And to be honest with you, every football day, whenever there's a football game, the place to be is Hollywood Casino Columbus. But On The Money, we're going to be doing our watch parties for week two of the NFL. So our very first one out there is going to be September 20th. We're going to be watching the Bengals out there live. Dave, you got to behave, but we're going to be watching the Bengals.
It's going to be CJ Stroud, and there's a bunch of Buckeyes on the Texans. So as long as the Bengals take care of business against the Bucks week one, I'll be down there for the opener for the Bengals. As long as I take care of business with the Bucks, a little bit of house money going down to Houston for week two. So you won't see me as like a giant smoked old-fashioned, like smoke coming out of my ears because I'm so mad at the Who Day. But yeah, man, that's going to be fun being out there. We always have a blast out there.
Yeah, so September 20th is our first On The Money. However, every Ohio State football game, we are also going to be out there. The tailgate show will be out there for away games. So that Texas game will be out there nice and early. And then we will party together and watch the games and have a blast. So your football headquarters for this fall is Hollywood Casino Columbus and the Sportsbook. And so we welcome in two friends. We welcome Noah Kirk and Justin Schmoos from the Hollywood Casino Sportsbook. And a couple of things. First off, you both are in very, very bright yellow shirts. Noah, you're wearing the West Virginia jersey, which is a bright yellow. I'm kind of okay with that yellow. I don't like the yellow that Justin is wearing.
I feel like he's wearing blue,
this
though.
This is maize.
Looks like pee.
I was going to say something else that began with a P, but same thing.
Yes. All right. Here's what we're going to do, though. First off, welcome, guys. Talk to me a little bit about like what kind of promotions, what all is going on. I know it's football season. You guys always come up with these really cool prizes. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on.
So we kicked it off early in August with our Lucky Box promotions. Anybody betting on our kiosk using a player's card, we draw a random kiosk every week. If you bet on that kiosk, you have a chance of winning a pool from the Lucky Box. So that's signed, authenticated memorabilia, jerseys, sports cards. We've put out a Deion Sanders signed jersey, an A.J. Brown signed jersey. Can't remember what the other one was.
Ocho Cinco?
No, yeah, we have it. We've had one. Yeah, I think that was our first ever pool from the Lucky Box. And then starting for football season, we're going to be giving away three $1,000 Ticketmaster gift cards for, and you're going to get entries from making a $50 bet using your player's card. And you're going to compete against Browns, Bengals, or Steelers fans. So you're going to drop them into those respective drums, and then whoever, you know, we're going to pull one from each drum. Then we're also going to be doing a second chance drawing throughout the entire month. So you're, you know, say you have a non-winning wager for the Buckeye game of any amount, as long as you use your player's card, you can drop it into the drum. You're going to have a chance to win $100 pen cash. We're going to do three of those every week.
Oh, gosh.
That's all. I don't know. They don't mess around over there.
So good.
I was out there. We were out there one day, and you guys were giving away like a Joe Burrow signed like white Bengal helmet. It was so good. Mm. And then some guy came over, some shark came over and bought it from the guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell the guy, like, negotiate. He took the first offer. I wanted to be like, negotiate, man. But the guy that was buying it was right there. I didn't want that guy to kill me. So I just didn't say anything. But yeah, you guys have really good prizes out there.
We gave away a couple of Jeremiah jerseys last year. Ooh. We gave away an Stroud jersey too.
And
what was the final giveaway for Super Bowl?
This sounds good. Was it Brady?
Was it the Brady?
Oh, yeah. Tom Brady.
You guys do not mess around.
That was good. And the last time I watched an Ohio State Texas game in the sports book, I ended up running up and down, screaming, like running table to table, giving high fives, jumping around because it was, of course, right after the Scoop and Sawyer.
You didn't watch last year's game at the casino?
I did not.
Oh, I was going to say, I was talking about the Sawyer one. There's been so many wins over Texas lately. The Scott's getting them like mixed up.
I'm confused.
The most recent one was last year's opener.
Of course, but that was home. We were down on campus. I should remember that.
But you still had the watch party though.
There was still a watch party.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
All right. Okay, what we're going to do is, by the way, we are going to open this up. We do a little contest. It's the Fan versus Hollywood Casino, and we're going to do a little college fantasy, and it's specifically the Big Ten Conference. So what we're going to do is we are going to draft quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. And the ultimate goal is to have the most touchdowns at the end of the season. We randomly did the draft order, and this is crazy how it works. We invite them in, yet we take the first picks. So Dave, you'll get the first pick. I'll go second. Isaiah third, Justin, Noah, then Jack will finish it out, and it'll be a snake order. So Dave,
two quarterbacks, two running backs, and two wide receivers. You can take them in whatever, or you can take two quarterbacks with your first, and it's just touchdowns, like Scotty said. All right, I'm going to kick it off with, you guys are going to be surprised, because Scotty was like, which quarterback are you taking here? Probably taking San. He's like, I'll take Dante Moore then. How about I take wide receiver? I'm going to go Jeremiah Smith.
Whoa. Okay.
1-1.
All right. I was a little surprised by that. My gosh, I was all ready to go Dante Moore, thinking for sure you were going to go Julian San. I'm going to go Julian San.
There you go.
Give me Julian.
Scotty. All right. Who's up? Isaiah.
I will take Dante Moore.
All right, we have Justin is up.
Damon Williams.
Ooh.
Damon Williams. All right, Noah is up.
I'm going to go Josh Hoover.
Josh Hoover for Noah.
And then you guys get to pick for Jack.
Jack. Go for it, Justin.
We'll go Jordan Maiva since we're doing the quarterback gig.
Yep.
Wow, you're going to be really low on the quarterback list.
And then Jack gets another one, too. I knew that.
Coming back, Jack. Let's go...
Bo.
Yeah, go.
Oh,
yeah.
Taking Bo Jackson off the board.
Yep.
All right.
And Jack, then Noah.
It's Bo.
And then Noah is going to go with Charlie Becker.
Okay. And back to Justin.
Jordan Marshall.
Isaiah.
Right, yep.
The second pick here.
I'll take Jordan Davison.
Okay, Scotty's up.
All right, I will go. I hate to do this. I will go with Bryce. No, I'm not going to go Bryce. You know what? Give me Bryce. I will take Bryce Underwood.
Okay, Scotty's going Bryce, too. Okay. I will go with, gosh, the two teams that we added as 13 and 14, I'm going to go with here that we maybe should have never added. Okay, for quarterback, I'm going to go with Malik Washington from Maryland. And then at running back, give me Antoine Raymond from Rutgers.
Yeah, I was looking at that as well. I will go with the running back from Minnesota, Darius Taylor. Again, okay. What we're doing is we're going down the list, and we are drafting quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, only in the Big Ten Conference. And first pick off the board was Jeremiah Smith for Dave. Mine, of course, went Julian San at number two. We're going to take a quick 2-minute timeout, and then Isaiah's going to make his pick in the third round. This is On the Money.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Scotty Vegas is still offering player props at his kids' soccer games. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to On the Money, 97.1 The Fan, Dave Biddle, Scotty Vegas, Isaiah Jacob at the controls, and we're joined by our friends from Hollywood Casino, Noah Kirk and Justin Schmoos. We're having a Big Ten fantasy football draft, Big Ten only, just quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
And all that matters is touchdowns.
All that matters is touchdowns. We are in round three. Isaiah, round three of six. We're about almost halfway done. Isaiah, who are you taking in round three?
I'm going to take Rocco Becht.
Oh, wow.
Rocco.
Fun fact, Rocco Becht's father was a standout tight end at WVU.
Oh, all right.
Anthony Becht.
Yes, correct.
He played for the Jets.
And
yes.
For those, of course, just driving around with us, not watching on YouTube, Justin is in his ugly, disgusting, yellow Michigan pullover, and Noah's in his beautiful gold West Virginia jersey.
That's right.
It is now, Justin, your pick in round three.
We're going to go with my second quarterback, little Aiden Chiles.
Sure. Former Michigan State. Now he's at Northwestern.
Little Chip Kelly.
Noah.
That's true, yeah.
Let's see. King Miller, USC running back.
Okay. He was a little bit down on my board. Not too far down. He was fifth on my
I got him listed as major breakout candidate.
Oh, boy. Now for Jack.
I think they need a second running back.
Oh, he gets two.
I get two. Let's see. I've already got a Indiana wide receiver. So let's go with D'Arry Hill Jr., Oregon.
Mm-hmm. We're back with another pick for you guys.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, shoot. That was Jack's, yeah. Yeah,
that was Jack. So that
this is mine.
No, it's another for Jack, right?
Yeah, you got another. Jack has another pick.
Mekhi Hughes.
Hughes. Noah, back to you.
Andrew Marsh, Michigan. Wide receiver.
All right, Justin.
Kamari Moulton. Moulton.
And Isaiah, we've gone all the way back to you for pick number four of round four.
I'm going to go Carson Hansen. Running back from Penn State.
Carson Hansen. All right. I am going to go a little bit further down on my board, but Indiana hard-nosed power runner.
Oh, no. Stealing him from me.
Kobe Martin. That's where you were going?
Who'd you go with? Kobe Martin?
Yeah.
Indiana?
Yep.
Oh, I'm giving me Indiana's other running back. Give me Turbo Richard. And I get another one. Give me wide receiver from Northwestern. Griffin Wilde. All right, Scott, back to you.
Wilde. All right. I am going to... I don't know. Something tells me... This is probably a bad pick, but Dave, I don't completely agree with your assessment.
Chris Henry Jr.
I'm going to take Chris Henry Jr.
Good.
He's on my board.
Wait, I just need to root for you. This is supposed to be us against them. Whatever. Don't listen to me. You definitely know more about it than I do.
No, I'm just going against your call, and I get it, but I wanna do it. All right, next up for Isaiah.
Has anyone taken DeCorian Moore yet from Oregon?
No. I don't think so. Good pick, Isaiah. All right, now Justin's on the board.
Just robbed me. Let's go Devin McCune, who I think will be the real number two for you guys.
Way to let a Michigan guy know more about Ohio State football than you. I'm really, 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 really proud of you, Scott.
Noah.
I'm going to get another quarterback. Damond Williams Jr., Washington.
Sorry.
No, he's gone.
Off the board.
He's gone.
Drink.
What about
that? That was in the second round.
Four. Drake Lindsey, Minnesota.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. All right.
And then we are back to Jack. Who is Jack taking?
Jack.
Corey Smith, Penn State running back.
And then Jack, round six, close it out.
Justin?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying.
The nitty gritty here.
I got a great last pick, I think.
And then we'll go through like all of our picks and
about the
make fun of each
Terrell
other.
Terrell Anderson, USC.
Anderson,
yeah.
USC?
Yep.
Back to Noah.
What am I missing, Isaiah?
Let's see.
Do I need another running back?
Yes, it looks like you need another back.
Evan Stewart, Oregon running back?
Oh, the wide receiver, right?
Oh, that's wide receiver. Let's see. Quentin Martin Jr.,
all right, Justin.
Final picks.
You took Andrew Marsh from me. Let's do J.J. Buchanan, the transfer from Utah.
Buchanan and Isaiah?
KJ Duff from Rutgers.
I am going to go with Evan Stewart, Oregon, my last wide receiver.
That's a good one. Okay. And then my final pick, I need a quarterback. Give me. I like the Wisconsin transfer. Now, he's coming from Old Dominion, but he was their conference player of the year. His name's Colton Joseph. So give me Colton Joseph as my second quarterback.
All right. All right. Now let's assess it. So, Dave, again, what we were doing is two quarterbacks, two running backs, two wide receivers. It's total touchdowns. And you ended up going with Jeremiah Smith with pick number one, which shocked me. I thought for sure we were going to go quarterback here.
I thought about it, but I looked, I mean, the Big Ten is pretty impressive with quarterback depth this year. Think about it. I mean, I was torn there, even though I was down to the 10th quarterback taken. I was torn between the guy I took, Colton Joseph, and Nico. Nobody took Nico, right?
Yeah.
So Nico could be the 11th best quarterback. Now, maybe he will be better than that. But my point is, one of these guys that we took is going to be at best like the 10th best quarterback in the league. So we're talking about with 18 quarterbacks, really, other than maybe Michigan State, Rutgers, Purdue. I mean, there's a lot. Even the kid at Iowa might be good. I was talking to our guy, David, from our 24/7 site for Iowa. He does a great job. He said this Heklinski kid is his name. He's like 5'11", but he's got like some Baker Mayfield qualities to him, just a gunslinger, you know, short quarterback, very cocky, can throw it, play it, you know, tough competition in Georgia. He's ranked as like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and he could be solid. Now, it's Iowa. We'll see. But I like the quarterbacks in the Big Ten this year a little. I like the wide receivers, but I just didn't see as much depth at wide receiver. So that's why I went. And Jeremiah Smith's the best player in the league.
Now, of course, we've got Justin and Noah in from Hollywood Casino, Columbus. Again, you can watch all the Buckeye games with us at the Sportsbook. It's so much fun. We do a lot of different contests out there. We basically put every Ohio State offensive player that is likely to score a touchdown on a little football. We throw these footballs out to the crowd. Everybody goes bananas for these
they
things.
They do.
I mean, there's scramble. People that have, we've seen people that like completely just fall over.
Did you hear that, Isaiah?
Ball.
That's bananas.
We've seen people like jump on tables. We've seen people get on chairs. I mean, this thing is
and
wild.
That's just like our employees. That's mostly just me and Scott and Isaiah.
It's we give out dining credits. We also do this contest, then Dave and I have seen this go crazy too over the last couple months that we've been out there, is we do a coin toss tournament.
Yeah.
Where everybody's got to call heads or tails. You get it right, you stay. You get it wrong, you walk off the stage kind of in a little bit of a walk of shame. And then ultimately we get down to the final couple, we flip the coin and somebody's going to win.
It's
and
awesome.
People line up. I've seen 50 people line up in front of the huge TVs to determine the coin toss.
Yeah, it looks
winner.
Like a grade school talent show from a distance.
It
like
does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And you would never think it would be this exciting. When Scott first told me about it, I didn't even say he knows the story. I've told him 100 times, but like he told me about the idea. I didn't say I didn't like it, but I was just like, man, that's not going to be very exciting. Boy, was I wrong. Never thought a coin flip
like
contest
it.
Could be so exciting. People just hold up heads or tails. That's it.
So, guys, the sports betting industry right now, I'm curious for you guys locally, what are the teams that we are seeing the people bet on for NFL futures? Because everybody seems to be going wild for the Rams, looking at how stacked that team is. I'm just curious, are you seeing it at the ticket counter? Are people placing bets on NFL futures? And specifically, I assume that the Rams are probably the number one team that people are taking.
We've seen, I mean, I have seen a couple of Rams bets. A lot of them have been the Bengals.
Mm.
I think they were at 10.5. We're seeing a lot of overs on the Bengals. We're seeing a lot of over on the Lions, too. They're 10.5, but I think people are buying into that offense a lot this year. And yesterday during the Browns preseason game, we got a few on the under 5.5 that people were slamming that a little bit because that was ugly.
And I was going to ask you guys this. So with the NFL preseason going on, are we seeing people betting on the preseason?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ready for it.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. I had people upset yesterday because a preseason game was getting delayed from the storms in Cleveland.
Oh.
They got first half bets. Come on.
That's so good. I love it. And again, our friends Hollywood from Hollywood Casino Columbus, Justin, Noah out here. We're throwing parties throughout the fall. We do it, and we have so much fun. It's a great partnership. And then also with you guys, we do our March Madness watch parties. We throw a bunch of different ones throughout the year. And maybe one of the most fun ones that I thought was underrated this summer was the World Cup. We watched a lot of the World Cup games out there and had a blast doing so. So, guys, thank you so much for coming in. The worst of luck to you guys in this fantasy draft. But it was good to see you guys, and we can't wait to be out there very soon.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
All right, when we come back, we are going to dive into the NFL odds, Browns, Bengals, Steelers. We're going to look at their futures and win totals. This is On the Money.
High school football on the Fan. Join Tyler Danberg and Coach Larry Wolf for the Capital Ford of Columbus High School Football Game of the Week.
This week, Bishop Watterson and Pickerington Central.
Live coverage starts Friday at 6:30. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com. And hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Dave Biddle named his own dog parlay. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to On the Money. Let's talk some NFL, specifically the great Ohio NFL franchises. Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's start with Isaiah's Cleveland Browns quarterback controversy. I don't know if it's a controversy, but is it going to be Shadur? Is it going to be Deshaun? Well, yesterday it was the preseason home opener because they played their first preseason game on the road against the Bears, and Deshaun started that game. Yesterday, Shadur started and Deshaun went in to begin the second half amid boos from Browns fans. I mean, what else does he expect? Apparently, he doesn't expect that. I want to get Isaiah's take on that, but first we have some audio from Deshaun and I believe Coach Monken as well that we want to play. Let's let the listeners hear that, Isaiah.
Yeah, so the first one we've got here, this is when Deshaun reacted to them asking about the boos and just his overall reaction.
I think you guys know too, and I think the whole world knows, it has nothing to do about the performance. It's a little bit personal than that, so I think that's it's a disrespectful thing. I'm going to keep whatever I feel with me and my family internally on how I feel about that. Just move on.
He was then asked afterwards if the performance did get better, if he thinks that maybe he could turn it around and that the fans would kind of cater to him more. And this is what he said.
Last time I played on this field, I tore my Achilles. And that same fan base, they cheered when I got hurt. So does that have to do with, what does that have to do with anything about performance? When a person get hurt, especially for your own city, and they cheer.
And then the follow-up to that was, do you regret coming to Cleveland? And this was his response to that.
No, I don't regret anything in my life. You know, I think the Lord put me through situations for a reason, so I don't regret anything at all. I had different thoughts on how it was going to be, but, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes, the tables turn, and I'm patient enough because I'm a child of God to, wait for that time to change. So I'm not tripping on it.
I'll let you guys react to that, and then we'll get to Monken.
Yeah, I mean, now, is part of this performance-based? I would say yes. Despite everything that happened, if he would have came to Cleveland and balled out, there would have been, right or wrong, probably wrong, there have been a lot of Browns fans that's like, kind of would have looked the other way, maybe. You couple this with, like, what's looking like the worst trade and then ensuing like contract extension in NFL history. I still don't know if it's the worst trade because Herschel Walker happened, but basically had 3 Super Bowls for the Cowboys, but it's certainly up there as one of the worst trades ever. But if he had been balling out and not, had one of the worst quarterback ratings in the league when he did play, I think that you'd have a large portion of Browns fans that would have kind of looked the other way because we got a quarterback. But not only did he have the off the field mess, he has been a bad quarterback, so I think it's a little bit of both.
That's exactly it. It's parlaying off-field mess with being a really bad on-field quarterback as well. Like, that's why you're getting booed. Like, and he is just the most unlikable guy. Like, as far as your quarterback, you want him to be a leader. You want him to be someone that you can get behind. And he's just the complete opposite. And Browns fans have to, at this point, just be like, let's move on. This has got to be a situation now where after these comments, it feels like Shador should start the year. I still don't think that'll. I think there's a good chance Watson will still start, but I think for sure, if I'm a Browns fan, I'm rooting for Shador to start for sure. And let's now hear what else we've got in the can there, Isaiah.
So we've also got Todd Monken. This was after Deshaun's comments. Todd Monken went up to the stage and he was asked about the booing, and he obviously responded with, "I know that you asked Deshaun about this earlier," and this was his response.
"Hey, how's it feel to get booed? It's a pretty easy question. It sucks. I don't want to get booed. It comes with the territory. You don't want to get booed? Let's play good football. Let's play good at quarterback. Let's play good on offense. Let's play good as a team, and then you don't have to worry about all that, because it can turn just like that. Win, play good football, and everybody will be fine. That's just part of it. I mean, so I told him, you good? We're good. Part of what we do."
What else are you going to say for the head coach?
Yeah.
I mean, he's walked into it. Like, I mean, I now if you're Monken, you're thrilled you finally got a chance to be a head coach. I mean, he was a head coach once in college, but to be an NFL head coach, I'm sure he's not feeling sorry for himself. But man, you couldn't walk into a worse situation at quarterback, in my opinion. And I think, and we've said this for the last few weeks, and I'm sure most Browns fans feel the exact same way, is like, find out what you have in Shador. Deshaun's a sunken cost. They could cut him, but then, so right now, like, the dead money is going to be spread out over the next four seasons. So starting in 2027, if they keep him on the roster this year, if they cut him this year, that $89 million that he'll be owed over the next 4 years in total would have to be paid off this year and next year. So they're going to keep him on the roster just for cap purposes, which is crazy to say. That's how convoluted the NFL salary cap is. But I find out what I have in Shador Sanders. I'm convinced that the Browns quarterback is going to be the guy who they take in the draft next year. They got plenty of capital. I know Monken doesn't want to tank his first year, but man, I'm going to try and get as high of a draft pick as I can. And you guys have enough capital where you could move up and get the number one pick, unless it's a team that gets the number one pick and is like, no, we're not trading it. But you don't want to be like drafting like 10th or something. You know, you want to be like in the top five. So if I'm the Browns, you already traded Myles Garrett. I'm hoping for like a 4-13 season if I'm a Browns fan. Find out what you have in Shador. Maybe Shador is the guy. Find out for sure and then find your quarterback in the draft.
One team that doesn't need to find their quarterback is your Cincinnati Bengals. And one of the things that I like to look at ahead of the NFL season is kind of where experts rank the different position groups in the NFL. And so I was looking through as far as the Bengals go, because when we were back doing draft preview shows in April and the Bengals were sitting there at 35-1 to win the Super Bowl, you and I were kind of looking at that like, oh, that's kind of tasty. That's pretty solid value. Now they've had a really, really good offseason, and it feels like these first couple preseason games have just kind of elevated expectations a little bit even more. And you look at the position rankings by ESPN. So as far as quarterbacks, obviously Joe Burrow, they rank as number five. Running backs for the Bengals, kind of middle of the pack at 18. Wide receivers, ESPN ranks the Bengals as having the best wide receiver group in the league. Tight ends, 31, and then offensive line, 30. So it's all over the board.
The offensive line's better than 30. That's like going by, I understand it, because the Bengals have the reputation of having a bad offensive line. They actually have a solid offensive line now. There's no way that they're like the third worst offensive line. But
so it's funny because it's all over the board where they rank quarterbacks fifth, the position group fifth, running backs kind of in the middle, but then you have the extremes where you got the wide receivers at one, and then you got the tight ends at the bottom and the offensive line at the bottom. We bring up the offense, but the most important thing for the Bengals in this offseason was improving the defense, because it was horrendous for a large part of last season. It was historically bad, and it feels like if the Bengals defense can just be okay to decent, that this could be a Super Bowl contending team, or at the very least one of the top four or five teams in the AFC. Your expectations for this team, are you thinking it's out of line to be talking about this Bengals team as being a top three or top four team in the AFC?
I really like this roster, as you know, Scott. My biggest concern is head coach, and I don't think Zach Taylor's a disaster. I just don't think he's a good head coach. I'd feel, you told me I hate to give shine to a Harbaugh. If you told me John Harbaugh was the head coach of this team with this roster, I'd feel a lot better about it. You know, I just feel like Zach is, I don't know. He's a decent, like, offensive coordinator. I mean, he does calls the plays, but, like, and, you know, the guys like him, but I wonder how much of that is because he's not really, like, a hard bleep on them. You wonder how much when it's a player's coach, that can go one of two ways. It's like, is it too much of a country club over there, or is it, like, he just vibes with the players, they really like him? The important thing for him is Joe Burrow likes him.
Well, and you and I were talking, of course, before the season at about April time where it was 35-1. Now you're seeing the Bengals anywhere between 25 and 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. So it was good value in April when we took it.
First hour of the show is in the book. Stick around for the second hour for Ohio State football talk, some this or that, and much more. This is On the Money.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Well, your joints.
Testing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Browns dropped to the Bills yesterday in preseason game number 2, 31-7. Shedeur Sanders played the first half going 9 of 11 for 74 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Deshaun Watson played the third, completing 5 of his 12 passes for 36 yards and one interception. Todd Monken commented on Shedeur's performance in the postgame.
There's a lot there to like. He plays with a certain amount of confidence. He has gotten a lot better at getting rid of the ball. Certainly he wants to make a play. So I thought he did a lot of really good things. I mean, I'm really proud of him from the moment I got here till now. Very impressive.
The Browns' final preseason game is this Thursday at 8 against the Patriots. In baseball, the Guardians won their third straight last night after beating the Rockies 4-3. They match up today at 3:10. The Reds also grabbing an 11-5 win yesterday versus the Diamondbacks. They close out the series today at 4:15.
Some people golf on Sunday mornings. Some people place bets on the people playing golf on Sunday mornings. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to On the Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle, joined by Scott Prokop. We, of course, like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have our awesome producer, Isaiah Jacob, at the controls. And right about now, it's time for the Parlay Party. Hit it, Isaiah. All right, my friends, parlay parties where we celebrate anything we want to celebrate. Could be a nice parlay that we hit. Could be anything at all. Scotty Vegas, what are you celebrating today?
Dave, Isaiah, we're 6 days away from college football. I mean, that is worth celebrating for sure. And we're 13 days away from Ohio State starting out that season against Ball State. I can't wait. I know that the week zero games are kind of poo. I really do. I'm looking up and down. I'm trying to find some betting angles and odds. And I'm like, boy, North Carolina, TCU, San Jose State, USC, NC State, Virginia. Perhaps the biggest and most interesting game on week zero is probably that North Carolina, TCU game. And honestly, that's a tough one to move the meter for a lot of people. But that's going to be in Dublin, and that's going to start us out. I'm just going to be very excited to see college football on our TV. The other thing I'm celebrating, guys, is I had a blast down in Cincinnati this last week. Went down for the Cincinnati Open, and I mention this every year. It never disappoints. It's so much fun down there, and you get to see top tier tennis. And Dave, Anthony Rothman, myself, and a buddy, we were down low watching Tommy Paul knock off Zverev, Sasha Zverev, and that was awesome to see. The atmosphere down there. If you haven't done it, get down to the Cincinnati Open. And Dave, we have an American in the finals. Francis Tiafoe is playing in the finals. And then on the women's side, we have two Americans in the finals. So good run for USA.
And the American men overall did really well.
Right.
I mean, you had half the quarterfinalists, I think, were Americans, including two Americans playing each other. Yeah, American men did really well. We're so used to the American women doing really well in tennis. Maybe the men are, all right, they're far away from catching the American women, but at least the American men's tennis has been, I will say, considerably better over the last 5 years than it was maybe the previous 10. Ever since Andy Roddick retired, it was like, for a while, it was like, Isner was like the best American player, and he was solid. But when he's your best in the country, that's not good for American tennis. All right, I am celebrating American men's tennis. No. Speaking of tennis, I am celebrating. My youngest daughter had a tennis tournament yesterday, and the weather was nice, and she played well, and we were there for like 5 hours. Yeah, it was a long tennis tournament.
Five setter?
No. They played like four different. It was a doubles tournament, so they played like four different pro sets.
Oh, cool.
So she did really well. Her and her partner were 3-1. So definitely celebrating that. And speaking of the weather, today is like San Diego weather here in Columbus. You know, right now, upper 60s. Soon it's going to be low 70s, sunny. That's like San Diego weather. Give this to
Love
me.
It.
Let's bottle this up, especially if we had 40 days and 40 nights of rain. That was insane. I'm glad we're getting some nice weather here. And it looks like, guys, it's going to continue for the rest of the week. So I'm enjoying the San Diego weather. Isaiah, what are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating getting very close to the start of football. My fantasy football group chats are starting to get lively. That's how I know we're getting really close. So it's fun to get all that started up. And then also, you know when you're betting on a team and they just keep failing you, and you bet on them and you're like, I gotta stop betting on this team. Every time I put them in a parlay, it ruins it. It sinks it every single time. And then you bet it again and they fail again. But then they turn it around. And then finally they start rolling a couple in a row. That is my Cleveland Guardians. 5 of the last 7, they sunk me for a while. I didn't get discouraged. Kept with it. Had a great weekend. 3 in a row. So happy to see my Gardos getting back on track. Tied for a spot in the final wild card right now. So hopefully they can keep it rolling and keep my happiness going into the fall as baseball comes to the playoffs coming up very soon.
We have different mindsets when it comes to betting on our baseball teams. I look for the Reds to take a lead. And good thing I just ignored the game yesterday because I would have lost. If I knew the Reds were up by like 6 runs or something, like I'd have been like, okay, I'm betting on plus 3,000 on the Diamondbacks to come back. But I've actually hit it on some decent ones where the Reds get a lead. Like the one the other day where Dane Myers dropped the last out, I actually had some money. I was still mad about that because it was like a $13 bet to win like 100 because like they were getting like the Cardinals were getting like, I'll have to look it up. What would that be? Like plus 700? It was something like that. And I just put like $13 on it for some reason and ended up winning because the Reds dropped the final out and that wasn't good enough. Then they gave up 4 runs after that with some more defensive like bad news Bears stuff. So typically I'll look for the Reds to take a lead. And then if the other team's getting like big time plus money on the money line, I'll jump on that. And it hasn't been anything crazy profitable. It's been like pseudo profitable. It's kind of like balanced out my yearly like over under win total, which I was so confident of. It was only 80.5. All they had to do was go 500, which is still possible. They're only 5 games under 500, so they could still get to 81 and 81. I'd win that bet. But yeah, the Reds, what a disappointing season.
Yeah. So some of my favorite texts from you are, Reds are up late. Here's your chance. Get in. I love to see those texts.
And it's not reverse psychology.
No. And I always check the odds just to see. All right. Well, I want to get back to a bet that I found this week. I was kind of just going through the sports book odds. And one of the things that I found offered, Dave, was a Big Ten team to win the national championship. Okay, so that would include anybody in the conference. And, amongst the top teams, we have the top six on the board to win the national championship. 3 are Big Ten. Obviously, Ohio State is tied with Notre Dame in the odds at 6-1 to win the national championship. Right behind them at plus 650 is Oregon. And then Indiana is 9-1. So the other non-Big Ten teams that be in that top 6 or top 7 would be Notre Dame, Texas, Georgia, and Miami. Now, the odds on a Big Ten team winning the national championship were plus 140. And I was like, gosh, if you're going to give me Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, and you're going to give me plus money, I feel like it's pretty good value. Now, I think Ryan brought up during the call-in show, like, oh, well, that you also include in there if a Penn State or a USC or a surprise team makes a run, you also get that value as well. But like to me, given those the three top teams of the Big Ten, I like the value plus 140.
I do too, because you're getting 3 of the 7 teams, almost half the teams that Vegas is telling us these are the seven teams that have a legit shot. There's a big drop off from seven, which is Miami in the betting odds, to eight.
Yep.
Which I believe is it Tech?
It is LSU. Okay. Is 18-1. Texas Tech is 20.
Yeah. So there's a big drop off from seven to eight. So yeah, I would love if you could get, obviously you wouldn't get plus money, if you could give those top seven or the field. Typically I'm a field guy, but you give me the top seven, I'm pretty confident it's going to be one of those seven. But I agree with you. The fact you're getting plus money on that, because you're getting three of the seven teams, and you're not getting, it's not like they're like teams like five, six, and seven. You're getting one, three, and like what, five, something like that as far as the betting odds. I like that.
The other thing too is you got to assume whoever goes on and wins the Big Ten championship is probably going to be the one seed, maybe the two seed.
At the worst, right?
At the very worst, probably right. the two. So you feel like you get to the playoff and there's a likelihood that there will probably be four Big Ten teams of the 12. And then it's hard to envision a scenario where the Big Ten doesn't have at least one team in the semifinals.
Right.
So maybe two. Who knows? Maybe three teams in the semifinals.
Right.
So at the plus 140 value, it's something that once you get later in the season, if you felt like there was another team like Notre Dame that's really good, you would still have that ability to hedge out of it.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys think, and let's get Isaiah's take on this too, because I don't think that we've talked about this enough. Do you guys think we'll ever have a situation again where the Big Ten has the number one and number two overall seeds in the college football playoff? That was pretty crazy. I don't think we're ever going to see that again.
I can't imagine it. It feels like they would have to both go into the Big Ten championship game undefeated. Schedule-wise, they wouldn't have played each other during the regular season.
Close game in the Big Ten championship game, which it was. Yeah, I mean, it just lined up.
What if I throw this scenario out at you? First off, let's say that the SEC kind of beats itself up a little bit this year, and you have the SEC champ has two losses, which isn't out of the question, right? I wouldn't think that would be too surprising. And let's say Notre Dame, for whatever reason, just doesn't have the season that people are expecting them to, and they have two losses. If you had Ohio State and Oregon, and Ohio State, you're talking about having a win over Texas, and let's say the only loss for each team, let's say they go in to the Big Ten championship game with one loss, and you have a close Big Ten championship game, I could see an Ohio State and Oregon being 1-2 again. If you have the SEC kind of beating each other up a little bit,
it could happen. I just feel like it's especially having two straight years.
Because last year, I was like, I thought they might drop Ohio State to 3 or 4 when we were going through the process, because it was like, are they going to pump up the Big Ten or the SEC champion after the loser? Like, are they really going to keep them both 1-2, which they did at the end of the day? But I thought they may drop the loser to the 3 or 4 spot, making it to where they wouldn't play each other in the bracket again.
I do think that was probably their plan, unless it was like a, you know, should have gone to overtime if Ohio State could have kicked a 20-yard field goal. I think they probably would have dropped Ohio State to 3. And you mentioned something about Notre Dame. If Notre Dame is 10-2, now I know that is the rule now. If they're ranked 12th, they're ranked in the top 12 by the committee, they're automatically in. I don't know if they would be in the top 12. If the losses are BYU and Miami, those are really the only good teams they play. Unless SMU ends up being good. SMU could be good. I guess Wisconsin could be good. There's really nobody else on their schedule. Like Stanford. I mean, Navy's solid, obviously. If they're sitting there at 10-2 with no quality wins, do they get in?
No. I mean, it would depend on the landscape, right?
Yeah.
As far as the depth and stuff.
But just sitting here right now, like if we had to bet 10-2 Notre Dame with that
without
schedule.
Without a quality win.
I don't think they get in. Yeah. If they like lost some fluke game to SMU by a field goal and they barely lost, let's say, to Miami by a field goal, but they did have the win over USC and it was convincing, you could get in at 10-2. I wouldn't be feeling good about that. Now, I think the Irish are going to be at least 11-1 and maybe 12-0. So I think it's a moot point. But if they are sitting there at 10-2, they might be having flashbacks to last year.
I think one of the most fascinating things to me for this upcoming football season too is who's going to step up and be that fourth Big Ten team, right? You and when we did our Big Ten predictions last Sunday, the three of us all had different picks as far as who finishes fourth in the Big Ten. And I think we think that the fourth place Big Ten team has a great chance of making the playoffs. So that to me is one of the underrated storylines going into this year is who can step up and be number four in the Big Ten.
Let's delve more into that next on the
morning, knowing anything is possible. Because if these guys are hosting a radio show, imagine the possibilities. T-Bone and Tyvis.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
Your home for football, food, and fun. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We're creeping into those late August temperatures today with highs in the mid-70s. And you'll have lots of sunshine in your forecast today for the rest of your Sunday. Later this afternoon, we do have a chance of seeing an isolated shower. Getting into tomorrow and the next days, really nice morning temperatures as well. 50s for your morning, so it'll feel a little crisp outside. So it might be time to start bringing out those sweaters. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good, clean boy. Moonlight, jazz man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Scotty Vegas can't even pronounce most of the names of the tennis players he bets on. He doesn't care, as long as they win. You are listening to On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
I think one of the most underrated stories going into this college football season is going to be right after the top-tier group of Big Ten teams, Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, I think it's really bunched up on the middle of pack of the Big Ten. I think there's about four or five teams that could maybe fight for that potential fourth bid for the Big Ten into the college football playoff. And even it's so wide open that when we did our predictions last week, we all had the same top three in the Big Ten, maybe in different orders, but we had the same top three. And then at number four, we all three of us had different picks on who was going to finish fourth in the Big Ten. I ended up going with Penn State. And a big reason for that is they won the schedule lottery. They really did. They're not going to have to play Ohio State. They're not going to have to play Oregon. They're not going to have to play Indiana. Huge advantage. And Matt Campbell year one, I think they'll be pretty solid. I could see them going 10-2, 11-1 with that schedule. And so for me, I had them at fourth in the Big Ten. Now you guys went a little bit of a different way. I think USC and Michigan, and kind of make your reasoning and why you guys went with that for the fourth pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like a ton of confidence in having USC there, but I did because, you know, I like Maiva at quarterback. You know, Lincoln Riley, good offensive coach, can't field a competent defense so far in his career to save his life. But maybe, and I don't know if this is going to work out or not, but a guy that I always thought was a, you know, a good head coach was Gary Patterson. He was at TCU, been out of football a couple years. He is now USC's defensive coordinator, and I don't know how it's going to work out, but that's at least interesting to me. So I have USC there as the fourth team, but you really could make a salient argument with any of the guy, any of the teams we're talking about. And maybe there'll be another team that sneaks in there. I do think we have to point out too, guys, we thought there was a clear, everybody thought there was a clear tier one last year that included Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State, mm-hmm. not necessarily in that order, had Indiana in tier two because everybody was thinking that was just a fluke. It's Indiana. I do wonder if anybody can crash the party a little bit in Iowa. I think Minnesota could be sneaky good this year. I don't think they're going to be like challenging for the Big Ten title or anything, but I think Minnesota could be okay. There's going to be some other teams in the mix as well. But yeah, I went with USC because maybe Gary Patterson can get their defense to like average. And if USC has like an average defense and not an atrocious one, they could be a problem.
Yeah. And you went with Michigan, Isaiah.
And my reasoning for the Michigan pick is because I think all three of these teams are going to be right there at the four spot. I assume they're probably all going to be right around the 9-3, 8-4 mark. Maybe one gets to 10-2 and that inches it out. But I'm thinking it's going to come down to a tiebreaker. And for me, the two teams that I was really convinced about were Penn State and Michigan. I think Kyle Whittingham's a good coach. He's going to get it back on track up there, and they're probably going to start pounding the rock again. But they play. Michigan and Penn State do. And Michigan plays at home. And so that was kind of my tiebreaker on it, is I think if Michigan's at home, I kind of have those teams right on the same level playing field. I think if Michigan gets the win there, that could be the difference between if they're the four spot or five spot in the Big Ten.
So for me with Michigan, and this kind of came up as far as a question, is what would be more likely of a scenario to you? That Michigan is a college football playoff team, or that Michigan finishes the season unranked altogether? What is the scenario that you think is more likely? I actually go with unranked. And I know, okay, he's Ohio State guy, he's rooting for Ohio State, all that stuff. But when I look at it, and I look at that schedule that Michigan plays, I mean, we talk about Ohio State's schedule, Michigan's schedule is just as tough. And you've got week two, that Oklahoma game. And to me, I think looking at the schedule, and a little bit of a uncertainty, as far as the quarterback situation for Michigan. It wouldn't shock me more so if this team is an unranked team than that they make the playoff.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I had to pick one or the other, it would be them, you know, being unranked as opposed to them making the playoff. I don't think either is going to happen, though, because I have Michigan pegged for 8-4. I think 9-3 is their ceiling. I know Michigan fans would disagree that that's their ceiling. I could even see 7-5, but 8-4 seems very plausible to me. I have them losing to Oklahoma and Ohio State, and then they have to play at Oregon. That's a loss in my book. And then there's others, you know, they get Indiana at home, but I have Indiana beating them. I do have them beating Penn State at home. At Minnesota's not going to be easy. Iowa and Ann Arbor, not going to be easy. UCLA, we'll see. I think they're at least going to be solid with Chesney. And Nico ending his, fourth year as a college quarterback. I have them for 8-4. So if Michigan's 8-4 with that schedule, they'll definitely be ranked. But they won't be good enough to make the college football playoff. But to answer your question, if I had to pick one of the two, I think 7-5, well, I'm not picking that, is more like, which that would lead to them being unranked most likely. I think 7-5 is probably more likely than Michigan going 10-2 and making the playoff. Because I think even with that schedule, they could have a chance at 9-3 with that schedule. But you're basically asking, in my opinion, you more confident in 10-2 for Michigan or 7-5? I'll go 7-5, although I think they'll be a little bit better than that.
And an Ohio State question. This kept coming up last night. We were talking about this because looking at the Ohio State Ball State line, and it's kind of sitting there. I've seen it at 50.5. I've seen it at 49.5, which is eye popping. And then you start thinking about, yeah, but Ohio State's second team is better than Ball State's first. Is significantly better than Ball State's starters. Covering a huge spread like that, a lot of times you need either to shut out the other team, or you need a defensive score, or both. Because you're just talking about you're 50 points. You're talking about a crazy amount of points.
And you're getting less snaps now. And that's not just if the tempo is slower.
Correct.
But just regular in college football, because of the rules, there's a few less snaps per game, which is, and Isaiah brought up something really interesting last week. You look at the first 4 years of the Ryan Day era, they were a scoring machine. And last 3 years, somewhat by design, they've slowed it down where they're not scoring as many points, but there's less plays, less wear and tear, longer season. I do think there's going to be a moderate correction to that. I don't know if they're going to go back to like what it was in 2019 and all those years where they're ranked like 10th or better in the country in total offense. Last year, they weren't bad. They were like 28th in the country in total offense last year. I think they are going to take a step up, and I like them to cover that spread. That, to me, that has like 56-0 written all over it, or 63-3, like you said, with a defensive touchdown, and then wanting to show that opener, like, okay, this offense is going to be more explosive. We're not just going to be running the clock down all the time. We're mixing up the cadence. That being said, you don't want to show Texas too much, but are you really worried about showing too much with your second and third teams out there? Like, yeah, I'm going to stay away from it, but if I had to bet on it, I would take Ohio State covering that monumental point spread.
Even Dave, with that humongous point spread, you think about it, and I'd be shocked if Ohio State's not up 35 or 42-0 at the half, something along those lines. And I think Ohio State's going to be really, really good and effective at running the ball this year. So even if you are running out the clock, what's to say that there aren't a couple home run runs that when you're trying to run out the clock? And when Ball State is down and trying to throw the football, pick six, turnover, fumble, stuff like that. So, like, it feels like a huge line. Maybe it's not that bad of a line.
Yeah, if you're Legend Bay and you're in there in your Buckeye opener in the third quarter, you're trying to score every time you get that ball. And it doesn't look, if it's a running play, it doesn't. They're still going to, I think, Tavian St. Clair, even though Luke Fahey's giving him a run for his money, which is an interesting storyline in camp, which I did not see coming. I thought, like, Luke Fahey would be the third string, beat out the transfer, Justin Martin. I did not see him giving Tavian a run for his money. I do think, even if Ryan Day believes right now that maybe it's even or Fahey might even be a little ahead, I think he'll have Tavian trot out there. But Tavian's, they're going to let him throw the ball, I would think. And then if Luke Fahey goes in there, yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And, but I do think with Arthur Smith and, you know, I think they kind of want to prove a point again without showing too much. So it's like, I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I do think they want to prove a point to an extent without showing Texas too much. And real quick before we take a break, some people might be like, you guys are assuming they're going to blow out Ball State. Look what happened with Ohio University last year. Here's the difference. And that ended up being a blowout anyway, 37-9. But OU was winning 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. My daughter, who's an OU student, big Buckeye fan, had to take a picture and say, oh, we're hanging in there. I'm like, that hit me. I'm like, we? I used to have her on my podcast. She would finish every podcast with, go Bucks, Michigan stinks, like in this cutest like little girl voice when she was like 3 years old. I kept playing it. And for her to say we, I was like, man, it's OU, so it's all good. For people that are saying, well, what, look at OU. OU was one of the best teams in the MAC last year. They really should have won the MAC title. They kind of lost some games they shouldn't have. They were a good team last year. Ball State is picked as one of the worst teams in the MAC by Phil Steele. So I think Ohio State's going to have their way with Ball State. And up next on the show is This or That. This is On the...
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. If you can't find something to bet on, you're not trying hard enough. You're listening to On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to the fastest 2 hours in sports radio. It flies by every week. Does. I can't believe we're down to like less than a half hour in the show. But right about now, my friends, it is time for This or That. Hit it, Isaiah.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they
this
come.
Or that. This or that. This or that. This or that. This
I love you guys for not saying what you're thinking, because right now when I say this is the fastest 2 hours in sports radio, you guys, yeah, you weren't here like for the Collins show like we were. Easy for you to come in here and do 2 hours and say it goes by fast. No, but it always flies by. It's always crazy. You know, time flies when you're having fun. Is that not the truest thing? Like, seriously, time flies when you're having fun. Go ahead.
And Dave, guess what? It's going to go even faster once we got Ohio State football starting. Like, I feel that's like true. That the 2 hour show is like 5 minutes of how quick it is once we got actual football going on.
Okay. Are you guys, first one for me, are you guys getting with in order? It'll be for Ohio State. You want to go leader receptions or yards? I can go either way.
Let's go.
What do you think is more important? I think yards are more important, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think 2 through 4, it's going to go 2. Devin McEwen's going to be 2nd in yards. Brandon Ennis is going to be 3rd in yards, barely above Chris Henry Jr. at 4th. You guys getting with that? Or are you getting with I'm crazy and it's not going to be
I'm
like
actually going to flip-flop Ennis.
And Chris Henry.
And Chris Henry
Jr. Okay, that's fair. That's
that,
fair.
That would be my, that'd be my call.
McEwen, like, being the number 2, I was hoping he'd be a guy that could come in. I liked his film at UT San Antonio, but it's UT San Antonio, right? And I was hoping he could be a guy that could come in and be, like, a solid number 4. The fact that, we'll have to see it first. It seems like he's going to be, like, the clear number 2. I think that's a huge story, and he looks the part. Isaiah, are you getting with what I said, or are you getting with maybe what Scott said?
I'm getting with what you said. I think it's going to be McEwen, then Ennis, then Chris Henry Jr. If you had done receptions, I don't think this would be the order. But 4 yards, I think this will be the order.
Oh,
and you can get with this, and you can get with that. You can get with this,
and
you can get with that.
I like your singing better, actually.
Yeah, my rapping, yeah.
All right, week 0, 6 days away. How much football are you going to watch? I'm going to put an over-under total on number of hours watched during next Saturday's week 0 action.
Just Saturday, right?
Just okay. Saturday. I am putting that number at 4.5 hours. You going over or under the amount of hours you're watching football? 4.5.
Man, typically it'd be way. I thought you might even go higher than that. Typically it'd be way above that. I'll actually be. God, I can't believe I'm saying this as a college football junkie. I love college football, but the games just aren't good. If I'm sitting there for roughly 5 hours, like watching games, I'll be surprised. Now I'll be in the ballpark. I'll be close, if not above, but I'll say I'll be under that.
So you're saying I set a good over-under number?
That was really good. That was. I thought you were going to say like 6.5 hours, and I'd be like under.
Yeah.
And if he went 4.5 on me, Isaiah, I'm like, ooh, that's like right around what I was thinking like I might be doing. Like I'll probably be watching like at least 3, maybe as many as 5.
Here's what I'm thinking.
You should be a handicapper.
Here's what I'm thinking as far as my schedule goes. I'm definitely going to watch the North Carolina TCU game. I don't know if I'll catch every play. It's something that I'll probably catch the first half for sure. And then if it's a good game, I'll stick around for the second half. I want to watch a quarter or so of USC, probably just to see USC.
Right.
And then I'll probably
San Jose State. Is that right?
Yeah, they're playing San Jose State. Okay. They're 38.5 point favorite in that one. And then I'll probably have a little action on the late one, maybe the Hawaii Stanford. So I probably will go just barely over 4.5 hours when you add it all up, because I do want to see a ton of that first game, Carolina TCU.
I think I'm going to go with the over, but will I be like intently watching? Like it'll be on my TV in my house, or I'll be like at a bar, maybe like having lunch, watching the game while having conversation. But I think I'm going to go with over.
If it's in the background at home, I might go over. But as far as actually like, you know, paying close attention, I'll be under.
Yeah, I'll be on the couch.
I'm talking true eyes on the screen. Not, okay, I'm in the kitchen, I'm getting some nachos.
I'm at the bar.
Yeah, I'm talking to friends and I can kind of see it.
His fiance is like states away, so you know what he's doing at the bar with his, and I'm kidding, he loves his girlfriend, his fiance, and she's cool. We got a chance to hang out with her. I wasn't surprised at all. She's a very lovely young lady, and she's going to be a veterinarian. So when she moves to Columbus, I love animals. We have two dogs. I know who our vet's going
to
be.
You know where to take them. All right, next one for me, guys. I plug this into DraftKings here. I wanted to see what the odds would be if you put in Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State all just to make the playoff, right? Just all three of them just to get in the playoff. And it was at +115. So almost like a pretty even odds there. And so are you guys getting with Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana are all making the playoff, or one of them will miss?
I'm getting what they all will make it. Now, you guys know if I'm an Oregon fan, and I don't think this is getting nearly enough airplay. In fact, I hardly hear anybody bring it up. Oregon losing both coordinators to me is a big deal. They lost their defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach at Cal. They lost the offensive coordinator, now the head coach at UK. And both those guys were like highly respected. You'd hear for a couple years of rising stars. So, and then they didn't go out and have some national search to find the best guys they could. They promoted from within. And that could go one of two ways. We've seen it not go well at Ohio State when they lose Tom Herman as offensive coordinator. We'll just promote Ed Warner. Really good offensive line coach. He'll be fine, right? No, it was a disaster. And who knows? I mean, maybe the guys that promoted from within will be good coordinators, but I need to see it first. But to answer your question, I am getting with all three of them will make it in. If I had to pick one that won't, it'd be Oregon.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that it's actually plus money. And I think back then, a year ago, we spent a significant amount of time during our shows, Dave, doing parlays of to make the college football playoff. And it felt like, okay, six of them were going to be easy. Like, okay, you can plug in this one, this one, this one. And then you run into Texas, Notre Dame, and Clemson are three, and Penn State. We had four teams that we felt really good and confident. Okay, these teams are definitely making a 12-team playoff. And then all four of those didn't. So I guess get a little bit behind why it's plus money. I just couldn't tell you today that any one of those teams would miss the playoffs. Like, it's so hard for me to see. So I'm going to say that they all three make it. But last year, it told you one of those teams probably won't.
Which is unbelievable, because obviously Penn State fell off in a way that's like not very common, going from like the number three team in the AP poll going into the season, falling all the way out of the top 25.
But Clemson did it too.
Both of them did it. And then even LSU was right there in the same spot as them. I think all three make it, but if one was to fall all the way out, I think it might be Oregon. Like, that would be the one for me that would make the most sense if I was picking one out of three. I think Indiana is going to be back in it, and I think their schedule sets up for them pretty well. And so, I think all three will be there.
All right, my next one. You and I need to pretend, like Scotty and I, we need to pretend like we're diehard Browns fans just for this question. Okay. Isaiah doesn't need
to. I never want to do that.
Isaiah doesn't want to pretend. We're playing a little radio here. Sorry, my Houday friends out there. We're playing a little radio here. Isaiah doesn't need to pretend. He is a Browns diehard. All right, we're Browns diehard just for this question. If you were at the preseason game yesterday in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson takes the field. Are you amongst the people that are booing? And let's say you're getting into it. There's some hatred, some vitriol. You're standing up and you're booing like you hate him. You getting with you would boo Deshaun Watson with every boo in your body. Are you not getting with that,
Dave? This is a really, really good question, and I will say that I have probably stood up and booed at a game maybe 2-3 times in my life total.
See, he's not a Reds fan or a Bengals fan, or that would not be the case.
It's very rare.
Wearing like paper bags to games in the 90s for the Bengals.
Now, I'm specifically like, now there's yelling. Like, I'll do some yelling and complaining.
You're not a booer.
But not boo. Like, actual. Yeah. I think it's kind of a weird, weird thing. But I would probably be amongst the ones up there screaming my frustrations. So yeah, I could see myself booing.
I would have booed for sure. 100%. I mean, and Deshaun is in denial here, thinking it's just because of the off the field stuff, which was really, really bad. But I do think you'd have, right or wrong, you'd have a lot of Browns fans looking the other way if he would just came in here and just balled out. He's been a terrible on the field. He's been terrible off the field. They gave up the farm to get him, and they're still going to be paying him roughly, at least salary cap wise, for the next 4 years after this. I'm booing the heck out of that guy.
See, for me, I'm not a booer. I don't think I've ever booed at a sporting event. I understand why fans boo, and I think you're more... If you're sitting next to me, and Deshaun ran out of the tunnel, and he was running on the field, if you want to boo, I've got no problem.
You just cuss at the players? Is that what you're saying?
What about a bad call?
Yell about their mom?
I will say, referees... I'm not a booer, though. I would just yell.
Yeah, like, the process of booing is weird. Like, get up... Boo.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I don't have a good boo either. There's some people that maybe have a better boo than
Let's
me.
Let's hear it. Let's hear your
so
boo.
So if I was like a boo, like I just
that's a solid
boo. I don't know if I have a good boo.
You guys even like, have the hands to the mouth with the boo.
Boo.
All right, see, I would just stand up and boo.
I just like I can flash back. Akili Smith takes the field. Boo. The Cincinnati Reds as an organization. Boo.
See, for me, I would be more of a, I would be a yeller. Like, I would be yelling at the refs.
You
I would
suck.
Have things to say.
Yeah.
I've got opinions I need to share with them. The boo doesn't get my anger across, I don't think. So I'm not getting with the boo.
I like that. All right. So next, my next topic is tomorrow. I get the opportunity to play in Anthony Rothman's, golf outing, and it raises a lot of money for the dogs, for the cats, all that stuff, for shelters. And just, it's awesome. Now, my question is, in a scramble, you're playing a golf scramble. So you got four guys. You're all going for the best score you can on a hole. Would you consider yourself better off the tee, driving the ball, or better putting on the green?
Oh gosh, I thought you were gonna go chipping. The only thing I'm somewhat decent at golf.
Better putter or better driver?
I'm a better putter than a driver. I'm not good at either.
Okay, see, I am consistently like 200 to 220 yards on the drive. I am like really short drive, so I'm not a good scramble player. But I'm good around the greens and I'm good at putting. So I'm on the green.
See, I think my driver's consistent, but it's just not deep enough. Like where even if I hit a solid drive, if someone actually gets good contact, like they're going to hit it further than me, mine would be like the layup drive. Cause I'm right there too. I'm 200, 220 is like a good drive for
right.
me. So that's not coming to the table where a putt, I could hit a putt that could be of substantial use. So I would say I'm more likely to be useful on the green than from the driving.
Before we kick it back to Isaiah, I mean, he better be a good putter. He's got a putting green in his backyard.
That's true.
It's pretty nice. Yeah. Chipping green, putting green, it's pretty nice.
So are you guys getting with when you're watching the NFL games coming up these Sundays or maybe an Ohio State game and you're at a bar getting some drinks, are you getting with, I'm going to be having a full meal to go with the game, or are you just going to be getting appetizers and snacking throughout the game? If we're at Hollywood Casino, are you getting the steak and potatoes or are you getting the big pretzel?
Yeah, as you know, it can go one of two ways, right? We can just get the full meal when we're out there. Typically, I like going apps. You know, if we're going to be out there for 4 hours or whatever, there could be a second round as well. We have done like, you know, not early in the morning, but like early afternoon doing like full dinners because the steak is so good out there at Hollywood Casino. Typically, I like going with apps.
Yeah, I do generally two meals because I'll do the steak and then later on, let me get some chicken wings.
Wings time.
Yeah. And then maybe a little dessert. So yeah, why not? Go for it all.
See, I'm just an appetizer guy. I'm not getting a meal. It's too much for me to be watching the game, trying to enjoy my beers and then also like having like a full meal in front of me. Like I have to have something I can just pick at. I'll do fried pickles or the pretzel or mozzarella sticks or just something easy.
Okay, good point. So let's say it's an Ohio State game. I'm not eating a meal during the Ohio State game. That's happening.
Right.
But like if I'm watching NFL Sunday where I, you know, it's not, I'm just rooting for the teams that I bet on and I'm not like all in on a specific team, then, oh, full meal.
That's a good way to think of it, too. So I think if I'm out for a game that I don't care about, then I'll get a full meal. But if it's a team that I'm actively rooting for, like the Browns or Ohio State, then I have to do apps because I got to be locked in.
Thought of real quick, man. I know we got to take a break. I should just save this for next week. But Isaiah got me thinking of this because you mentioned beers, plural. If you're in a really busy bar and maybe you've already gotten a drink and it took you a while to get the second one, are you getting with you typically will order two at a time if it's crowded, or are you one at a time?
Well, you know, because we've been at plenty of these watch parties. You got to go two at a time.
Yeah, I go two at a time.
There's no way around it. Like if it's slow and you're worried about getting a second one, then you got to get the second one. And even if the one beer starts to get a little bit warm, it's better than just not having one at all and having to fight the crowd. I'll fight through there to get up to the front one time. I don't want to have to do that like every 10 minutes.
So have you ever done three?
I don't think I've ever done three.
I haven't gone that far.
I don't think I have either.
Maybe your own personal bucket.
Ooh, a bucket.
Yeah, that's different, but I have not gone up there and been like, I need three for myself. And we're not,
just
I'm
in
not
case
talking
the
about
service
two,
is slow.
And what am I talking about getting two for you and your buddy or you and your girl? Like, I'm talking two for yourself. Yeah. Like, you're getting with
yes.
that.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah.
Of course we are.
Next time we go to Hollywood Casino, we'll all get three when we go up there.
Oh, man. We're also getting with this. No, not this or that. We're getting with Best Bets.
Yep.
Best Bets is coming up next on
Bishop and Friends.
Your comedic timing on the zinger to Saban.
I thought we could smile a little bit, laugh a little bit. If the timing was right and coach is there, we could maybe get a smile on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas both think they're right. Chances are, they're both wrong. On the Money presents Best Bets.
Sponsored by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Well, we got the question in the YouTube chat. What's the bet of the day, guys? Well, I've got a lot of bets that I will throw out at you here during Best Bets. First off, my college football bets that I've got in. I've got the over on the win total for Minnesota. That's 6.5. I'm going over with them. I'm going under with Illinois in 7.5. I'm going over with Ohio State in 9.5. So those are season win totals. A couple other prop bets out there I like. I took the Big Ten to win the national championship this year at plus 140. So any of the teams out of the conference winning it gets that bet done. I've got Louisville to win the ACC at plus 450. I'm sorry. I have them to make the college football playoff at plus 450. I have them to win the ACC at plus 750. Virginia Tech to win the ACC. I know it's James Franklin, but I got him at 25-1. They got a lot of returning guys, a lot of good transfers in. So Virginia Tech, 25-1 to win the ACC. And then if you want to bet for today to have a little bit of fun this afternoon, look at the LIV Golf Tour. Might be their last tournament ever, the way things are going. But Thomas Dietrich is who I got at 5-1, one shot back. Dave, your best bets today.
Yeah, before I get to that, it's interesting when you mention Illinois, because, and I think rightfully so, Brett Bielema has gotten a lot of shine, I'll say, since he became Illinois' head coach. I think some people were thinking, oh, is he, you know, retread, didn't go well at Arkansas, was good at Wisconsin, how's he going to do it? He's done really well at Illinois. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to have a little drop-off this year? Makes sense. Altmyer was a good quarterback.
Yes.
Last 3 years of breaking in. Caden Hauser this year is their starting quarterback, who's bounced around a little bit. Actually started at Michigan State, then went to East Carolina, and now is there. But let me ask you this. We kind of gloss over the fact that he went to Arkansas for 5 years and was terrible. He was good at Wisconsin. Initially, I chalked that up to, well, he just took over Barry Alvarez, and the program is just humming, and he just kept it on the rails. What do we make of his and I know Arkansas, that's a tough place to win, but Scott, he was 11-29 in SEC games there. 29-34 overall in five seasons.
Yeah.
He was terrible at Arkansas. And again, granted, that's a tough place to win.
And we give him credit for taking Illinois out of the complete basement of the Big Ten and getting more towards the middle of the pack. They just don't seem like they're going to make another step forward. I think they take a little bit of a step back this year.
All right, my best bet. I really like this one. I'm surprised I figured it'd be plus money, but I didn't think it'd be close to 2-1. I thought it'd be more like plus 120. That would be Carlos Alcaraz to win the U.S. Open tennis tournament. And I know he missed the French Open with the wrist. Then he had to miss Wimbledon. For him to miss those two tournaments, obviously that was a very serious injury. Is he really ready? I tell you what, if he was entering this tournament healthy, with no Yannick Sinner in the tournament, it might be minus 300. I like the value here. Alcaraz almost 2-1. You're getting plus 195. In fact, I did just put a little a mini bet on there. I might put more money on it here in a bit. But Alcaraz plus 195 to win the U.S. Open, I love that.
Yeah, it just makes me a little nervous. He didn't even play in Cincinnati either. So he'll be 4 months without playing until he plays in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, but you know how those guys train. Yeah, he's playing.
I get it.
He's playing, but it is different.
And you're right.
It is different.
He would be minus 200 to win it with Sinner out.
That's probably more accurate. I said it could be minus 300. Probably be more like minus 200, especially with Zverev in there and some other good players. All right, that is our show for today. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it very much. For Scotty Vegas and Isaiah Jacob, I am Dave Biddle. Don't go anywhere. Up next is Fan Sports Sunday with our friends Cole Bartemus and Dylan Gonzalez. This has been On the Money.